Welcome to Library Voices SC, the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. This is Curtis Rogers, Communications Director, and today I'm here with Catherine Smith, and she is an author, and she has just spoken to us at the Speaker at the Center Author Talk program here at the South Carolina State Library, and her book is titled The Gatekeeper, and it's the untold story of Missy LeHand and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And it's really, really a fascinating fascinating story that I think everybody should check out. So welcome, Catherine.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
One of the things that I find really interesting about this story is that you had said in today's presentation that you wanted to know more about her, and mm-hmm. there was nothing out there.
Not much. Nothing about her specifically, though she's mentioned in really every book about the Roosevelts because she was so integral to their lives, but not a book. I wanted to read her biography, and when I found there wasn't one, not even a dissertation. I'd be happy to have read a dissertation. I said, well, I'm going to brush off my old journalism degree and get to work. That's what I did.
Speaking of journalism degree, tell us a little bit about yourself and all of the different kinds of work you've done.
Well, I am a native of Macon, Georgia, grew up in Atlanta and Clemson, went back to college at the University of Georgia in journalism, and then I worked at daily newspapers around South Carolina for 17 years. Got out of that work to do nonprofit work, and then when I retired from my nonprofit job, I decided to go back into writing and editing full time. So I did a lot of freelance editing and wrote some locally published and books for our museum and Chamber of Commerce. And meanwhile, I just got really intrigued with the story of Missy and started researching that. So for the last year, since the book's come out, I've just been speaking all over the place about the gatekeeper, and sometimes, as I did today, I do it in character as Missy, who is from Boston.
Well, yeah, that was one thing when I came into the room and you were in character and speaking with that accent.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really great because it really puts everybody, right in the period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's some of your favorite things about Missy LeHand that you discovered in this story?
Well, a lot of things. One was that she apparently was just hilarious, that she was very funny and just fun to be around. People loved her. I found very few critical remarks among her contemporaries, that she was sort of almost a saintly kind of person, though she was spunky too. But the big surprise was her power. I knew she was at Roosevelt's right-hand woman, but people would come to her and say, as they would to an intimate, say, when you think the time is right, you think you might give this letter to the president or ask him about this or this, that, and stuff. So, and then she also had very good judgment, so FDR used her as a sounding board. She also recommended some important appointments that he took her up on, like Attorney General and Supreme Court and that sort of thing. So she was just a really key member of his inner circle.
And one of the interesting things I thought you brought up during the presentation is that he actually had her in his will.
He did. Missy had rheumatic heart disease, heart fever, as a child that permanently damaged her heart. And at that time, there wasn't much they could do for it. A lot of people died who in their 30s and 40s and 50s of this because their heart valve would get narrower and narrower and they'd start throwing clots and have a stroke. And Irving Thalberg was someone who died of that. And when Missy had a major stroke at the age of 44 and had to retire, FDR paid for all her medical bills, paid for private duty nurse, and he put her in his will on equal footing with Eleanor, his wife, so that if he died before she did, half of the income, annual income of his estate would go to her for her medical bills. He just wanted to be sure she was taken care of. And I think that says a tremendous amount about how much he cared about her.
Certainly, and she obviously played a huge role in, managing, because she was essentially the first female chief of staff.
Only.
Wow.
Only. There's never been one. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is really interesting, and if you take a look at this book, her picture is right there, and she looks like someone you don't want to mess around with.
Yeah.
And then you have the title, The Gatekeeper. And yeah. That's, you know, that she really looks like the gatekeeper. But I think it would be interesting to tell folks how'd you come up with this title? What's the story behind the title?
Well, the title was suggested by the publisher. Actually, I had just called it Missy when I was writing it, but I loved the title, and then I subsequently learned that's the title that chiefs of staff are known by.
Ah.
In fact, a book came out last year called The Gatekeepers, mm-hmm. that's about the evolution of the modern chief of staff. It's an excellent book, really. So, and the picture also is rather atypical for Missy to be with her chin out like that, but I just thought it was perfect with the title. It's part of a series of pictures that were taken at her desk, and most of them she's just kind of, you know, looking sort of nonchalant, but this one she's really got her chin out like, yeah.
Well, it really is. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've got the Washington Post saying LaHand was more than FDR's Girl of Friday. She helped change America. And mm-hmm. then we've got the Wall Street Journal saying a fine biography. Ms. Smith has filled a small gap in Roosevelt historiography with this compelling personal story. That's wonderful. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got some really great reviews.
Really great reviews, and that was very gratifying. On the hardback edition, they had a quote from Jeffrey Ward, who's just, you know, Mr. Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And he was someone who was so kind and helpful when I was working on the book, and gave me a very nice blurb. So people in the Roosevelt world have been very nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, there are some contrary perceptions of Missy LaHand mm-hmm. as maybe having had more than just a professional mm-hmm. relationship mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with Roosevelt. And how do you respond to that?
Well, the best response is what her great-niece Jane Scarborough said to me, is we have no reason to think so. Her family's always said no, that was not true. But we just don't know, because FDR and Missy, they didn't leave behind diaries, and they certainly weren't talking about this stuff. I think the fact that she had relationships with other men from the time he was governor of New York in 1928 all through the time she was in the White House kind of speaks that if there was a physical relationship, it was not long-lasting. But what happens when you focus on that aspect, or the did they or didn't they, of her life, you ignore the more important things she did. So mm-hmm. I just got really fed up reading other writers who just went on about the poor, pathetic, lovesick secretary. One of the most interesting things to me is she's usually been portrayed as someone who had a nervous breakdown every few years because of her unrequited love for FDR. But I found her medical records. Mm. She didn't have nervous breakdown. She had heart disease. And
okay.
she would have serious issues with atrial fibrillation. Mm-hmm. They'd put her on digitalis to get her heart regulated again. She had toxic reactions to the digitalis, and that would send her around the bend. So there was just a lot of misunderstanding about your heart and how it works those days. So.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the level of research you had to do was really, really rather mm-hmm. intense. Can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit about maybe some of the methods you use to access information, mm-hmm, maybe mm-hmm. where you got your information mm-hmm. from?
Well, the place I started was the Warm Springs, Georgia, both the Little White House and the successor of the Warm Springs Polio Foundation, which is now an institute run by the state of Georgia. And everyone down there was just tremendously helpful. The Georgia Archives was where I got the health records, which just turned everything upside down. Then I worked in Hyde Park at the library there, and then the other really important piece was working with Missy's great nieces, Jane Scarborough and Barbara Jakes, who had just boxes and boxes of stuff that their mothers had left them. And it was just like, you know, the Missy mine, you know, gold mine. One of the most interesting things Barbara had was a bunch of reels of home movies that Missy had shot. And they had been shuffled around from attics to basements for 70 years, and they were still good. And she
wow.
had them put on DVD, and we watched the Missy movies, which gave you a much better feeling of what her life was like and mm-hmm. the people around her. And then I also got an important archive from Yale, where Missy's sometime boyfriend William Christian Bullitt has his papers, and that's where I found the correspondence from Missy to him, and that gave a real insight into her personality and you know, her feelings about things and her feelings as a woman. So,
and you talked a little bit about the South Carolina connection. What's all that?
About FDR and Missy coming. Yeah, uh-huh. They came to South Carolina one time, stayed for 2 hours. They came up on the train. That was the way FDR always traveled. And they came from Warm Springs. He came in early in the morning. He had breakfast at the governor's mansion. I can't remember who was the governor then. Oh, Olin Johnston, who was a big FDR fan from my home county of Anderson County. Then they went over to the State House, he gave a speech, and then they hopped back on the train and just kept on going. And that was in 1938.
Wow.
And he came back in 42 and did a tour at what was called Camp Jackson then. But okay. She was out of the picture by then.
Okay. And what maybe, and as I was flipping through the book, I noticed there were a lot of wonderful images. Are there any of the images that maybe are some of your favorites that tell a certain story?
Well, the one that surprised me the most came out of Missy's home movie, and it's a picture of FDR in his wheelchair by the pool at Warm Springs. And, you know, we were watching that movie in that scene, and, you know, she pans the side of the pool, and there's FDR. You almost never see a picture of FDR in his wheelchair or struggling to walk on canes or anything like that. So that was a real wow moment. One of my favorite pictures in it is Missy's charm bracelet, because I'm a big charm bracelet girl.
I flipped through that. Yeah. I remember seeing that picture, that bracelet, and wondered what was the purpose.
Yeah, I used the charm bracelet as a unifying theme all through the book, because they're little charms, and you could figure out where a lot of them came from and what they meant to her. And she was a big fan of horse racing, so there's a horse and jockey. She has a Orthodox Easter egg from Russia that came from William Christian Bullitt, probably. There's a martini shaker.
That looks great. It looks like there's an Indian arrowhead.
That was one I couldn't figure what it's about. It's from a men's honor society at, I think, the University of Illinois, and I never could track down what. So I don't know if that was some fella she was seeing. It's not a silver, or it's not a gold one. It's just made of pot metal.
And it looks like there's a little telephone.
There's a telephone.
Because she was probably constantly
on the phone. There's
and
a mailbox. With
number 13.
That was her birth date.
Okay.
So a lot of things with 13s that were probably given as birthday gifts.
Oh,
and there was
amazing.
Actually another bracelet, but this is the more elaborate. And I just insisted that it be a full page in the book so people could really see it. Oh, there's one. There's a pocket knife. Mm-hmm. It actually opens up and it says, "Let's cut up."
That's great.
And there's a mouse trap baited with a heart that says on the bottom, 4:40 a.m. So I have no idea what that means, but I'm co-writing some Missy detective novels with a friend of mine, and we've got that charm in our first book, what that charm came from. So we made up a reason for a thing about the charm.
That's great. Now, tell us a little bit about these mysteries that you've got coming
up. Elliot Roosevelt, who was one of the Roosevelt sons, allegedly wrote a big series of Eleanor Roosevelt mysteries. He actually had a ghostwriter. I don't think he wrote any of them, but I thought it would be fun to write a Missy detective series. And actually, Missy and FDR were big detective fans. I've got a letter she wrote to his lawyer about having read the first manuscript by the author Rex Stout, and the manuscript was called The President Vanishes.
Oh,
and
wow.
Apparently he sent it to her for vetting to say, you know, this isn't going to make FDR look bad, and she said, I don't see anything wrong with it. So I just thought it'd be fun to have a series. So this is Kelly Durham is another writer who I've worked with a lot. We actually went to high school together in Clemson, and we have completed one book called Shirley Temple is Missing. It's about the kidnapping of Shirley Temple, which never happened. And the other is The President's Birthday Ball Affair, and we're working on that right now. So we're just having the best time making up stuff.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is published by Touchstone, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster.
Correct.
So if somebody wanted to check this book out, they could certainly go to their local library. Libraries all over the country have this. But how can they find out more, or if they wanted to purchase a copy?
It should be available either on the shelf or to order from bookstores. It's on online resources, Amazon.com, I know bookstores hate to hear that, but if you have a good local bookstore in your town, go to your bookstore first and order the book or buy it there. And if that all fails, go to Amazon.
And
it's out in paperback now, too, which makes it a little more affordable.
And you're also available to come to libraries and different kinds of groups.
I love to speak. I like to speak to Rotary clubs because I'm a Rotarian, and because the polio story is so important with Missy and FDR. And spoken to senior communities, which I love to do because all the people who live there are Roosevelt babies, and they have just spectacular detailed memories of Roosevelt in their childhood. Some of them actually had met him and met Eleanor. And I talk at libraries, bookstores, you know, whatever.
Great.
Anyway, you can go to my website, KatherineSmithWords.com or MargueriteLahan.com. Or I have a Facebook page, the Missy Lahan Facebook page, and you can contact me there.
Great. That was going to be my next question. And we will have links to all of those on our Library Voices SC podcast website so that people can find out more about you. So anything else you'd like to say about the book?
Everybody needs to read it. Missy was a fascinating woman, and she deserves to be remembered for all the good things she did.
Definitely. Yeah. So thank you so much for
being
with us
today. Thank you. It was a pleasure.